is a Chrono Rat alert. Civil defense information will be broadcast at 640.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Y2K, how can we prepare?
Stop a few of their machines and radios. Throw them into darkness for a few hours.
We are fighting for our lives. My family must survive.
Over 5 years, 1,000 gallons of gas, air filtration, water filtration.
Let's try that again.
He was muted.
I muted it so we wouldn't get feedback. There we are. Hey, guys. Good to see y'all. We're going to skip the intro. I'll just add it later. This is what happens when we're on the road and we decide to do a live stream after an incredible event, but a...
You can turn it a little bit so your workshop thing's not in my face.
There. How's that? Yeah.
Kind of bothering me.
Yeah, it's rubbing you right in the face. So thanks, Local Prepper. We appreciate you. So I hope everybody out there has been having a good time. We have been... rather silent on social for the last, but a week or so we haven't done a live. Maybe
quite a while,
yeah. This is the longest stretch that we've gone without doing an actual live in a long time. It's been kind of a vacation, hasn't it?
It has, but we've been busy.
Oh man, we'll tell you about it for sure. Yeah. So I picked you up 8 days ago. You and the girls in Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville.
Yeah. And we played tourist for a few days. Our friends, we mentioned them in one of the shows, but we went downtown Broadway. We went shopping. We went
the girls have never been.
So, right. Yeah. And the girls have never been to Tennessee, period.
No, but they had to experience Nashville at least once.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were overly impressed with it because they're too young.
Sure.
And I don't know. I just find it's one of those things that, it's kind of like the dollar store version of Vegas.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I like it, but I get it. It gets old really quick. One day is enough down there.
I don't particularly enjoy Nashville. Like
I know.
I like the Opry
Mills Mall.
I did like that, and I did like the boat ride we went on. Mm-hmm. That was nice, but as for like Broadway and stuff,
It's boring. It was
and
fun.
It's cliche. And
Charlotte got to go on a mechanical bull. I got a really kick-ass old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. We bought cowboy boots, cowgirl hats, and that was about it.
That's about it. Yeah.
Then we went out for some kick-ass barbecue, which I think I've told you guys about. We went to the Nashville Zoo, which was great. We went on a riverboat cruise.
Yeah, the zoo was fun.
The zoo was fun. The riverboat was awesome.
But I find that touristy stuff is a lot more fun than actually going downtown Broadway.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't know, I like maybe 20 years ago.
Sure.
And I don't know, it's just, I find it's being the age we are, it's like sensory overload, it's loud, it's obnoxious.
And 20 years ago we wouldn't have had the money to go down there and enjoy ourselves.
No, but even if we did, I don't think I would have.
No.
And it's just, I don't know. It's just something about that's never appealed to me.
I know. I get it. We'll just show, let's say hello to everybody in here. We got Local Prepper in here, who was our AV guy for the evening. He fixed us up there knowing that turned my audio off. Caridly, you know, Caridly Bouffard. I hope I got that right. I probably totally butchered it, but it's great to have you. Rachel Brown, great to have you. Off-Grid Ping, we just saw him a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
I heard your
chainsaw. He left without saying bye.
It's okay. I heard his chainsaw demo. But I didn't see it. So at least I know you must have got something to cut this afternoon because you were going. Lots Project. Haven't seen Brian in a hot minute.
It's been ages.
Ages. Ryan Pippen, I saw you today on the live feed of Self Reliance. It was great to see you there. Digger, great to see you. Byron Roberts, we're one state away from you at the moment. Good to see you as well. So then we came and we chilled in Camden, didn't we?
We did
a whole week. I know that seems like a long time to be in Camden, but we made the best of it.
We did. Well, we had the intentions were there.
Yep.
Like we had full intentions of, we managed to get down to the land with Kathy and Chris.
Yep.
And we didn't stay very long because we got in a little bit later and it was starting to get dark and everybody was getting cranky and tired. So we figured, well, we'll just head back to the hotel and we'll go down the next day because Kathy and Chris were leaving early in the morning.
Yep.
And then lo and behold, it just started raining and raining and it raining.
And then the one day we were going to go, I might as well, I don't think I've told the story on here, have I, about my...
No, but we did miss the one day because it was a lot of rain. It was ridiculous.
But I don't think I told them the story about my live stream that completely fell apart, did I?
I don't know if you did or not.
Well, I'm going to get it on here just so I have it recorded and you guys can hear it. A lot of you may have heard it already, and you might have seen the other day that I had an impromptu live come up really quick for Dickie Barrett, the lead singer of The Defiant and used to be the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. And it was pretty exciting. I've been working on getting him on here for about 6 months. I get an email from his representative the night before. Hey, we're going to come on your show tomorrow at noon. Can you make that work? I'm like, you don't say no to a big deals representative.
Well, you got to tell him the whole story.
Sure.
The whole story. So we're driving along. Like he said, oh, I got Dickie Barrett coming on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And this was on Tuesday. Because so the we email assumed did say, it would.
Yeah. I know.
Now, let me tell the whole story because this is how Mr. Cook does things. So we start heading down the highway, heading towards the land, because it was just sprinkling a little bit. So we're like, okay, well, you know what? It'll probably keel off, you know, taper off a little bit. And then he gets an email from, was it Jenny?
Jenny's her name, yeah.
From Jenny, saying that Dickie was going to be ready in an hour, or 2 hours.
Yeah.
And he starts panicking. And I'm like, what's the first thing I said to you? I said, did you read the entire email?
I read everything except for the date that they put in
that
there.
It actually said April 3rd. It was in black and white right there. So he never read the entire email. So then he's like, well, maybe I should ask her to reschedule. And I said, well, don't do that because you've been waiting this long to get them. I said, no. I said, turn around, go back. You can get it done.
We turned around and I got it done. Mm-hmm. I shared it on social. Everything was as good as could be. I tested my connection. I was in the hotel, put together a good set of notes for him. He gets on live and his cell phone goes, whoosh. All I get is, he couldn't get connected. He couldn't make it work. And like 30 seconds in, he's like, dude, this, whenever you talk, I can't hear you. And it was on his end. I mean, we had perfect connection here.
It was totally on his
end. It was. And that's fine. He's like, we need to reschedule. I'm like, okay, fine. I was absolutely disappointed, I guess is the right word, but we are going to reschedule it. So hopefully we will see this happen in the future. So I did get to talk to Dickie for about a minute, and we've been in contact since. So hopefully we can make a date work. But I was disappointed for a minute. I turned around, threw something across the room. Not really. It was just a shirt. But I was just like, oh, this
No,
sucks.
You were bummed.
I was absolutely bummed.
Yeah.
The most bummed I've been in a long time, actually.
Yeah, and with just cause.
Sure.
But I think you probably wouldn't have been so worked up about it if you had read the email completely.
Lots of
and
things.
You had spent the entire morning preparing
for it. Oh, 100%. Because,
yeah, because you were, when you knew you had the date wrong, you went from like 0 to 60.
Sure I did.
So you were already worked up.
If I'd have had another day to do it. But here's the thing. I have since decided that anytime I get an ode to the ordinary guest or somebody that I've been working really hard to get, I'm going to do the interviews pre-recorded. And I know it sucks a little bit for you guys to not get the live interview, but what I will do is I'll put it out. So if you have questions, you can send them in like we did with James Wesley Rawls. There is so much less moving parts with somebody to do the recording off air. And I think it will give me the ability to be even more present during the interview. So I'm excited about it. It's a step. It's like,
and he did text you.
Yo, he did. Yeah, that's true. He did text me at my.
So he has Dickie Barrett's phone number.
That is pretty cool. So
yeah.
So whatever, we'll make it work. I will get him back on the show, but it's all about pivoting. I talked about it. I was disappointed for about 10 minutes. We went out for supper that night, which was cool.
Well, we were planning on going back out to the land.
Right.
Which I'm actually, it kind of worked out in the end because we were in the hotel. And when you finally, it's like, okay, that's fine. We'll just let it go. And we went to leave and it was pouring again. So we're just like, well, I guess no land. So we only got out there once, which kind of sucked because I bought a whole bunch of solar lights I wanted to put up. And there was a bunch of stuff I wanted to get done, but I don't know.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah.
So that was the, So then we went to Jackson, Tennessee, which we'd never been to before. That was actually kind of a fun little evening.
It was.
We want to keep exploring the area where we're, you know, kind of in the circumference of where we live. And where'd we go there? What'd we do? Books A Million.
Went to Books A Million, which is the first time we've ever been in there.
And I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody else goes to Books A Million, but.
Yeah, they had a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And then we went out for dinner at that Casey Jones place.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure, we talked to Sean Mills about it. I'm 98% sure that's the original Cracker Barrel that Cracker Barrel stole the idea from. That's what he told me.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think so.
And it was really cool.
It was.
Yeah.
Food wasn't...
It was, okay.
It was subpar.
Yeah, it was Southern food. It was a Southern buffet. They had, you know, chicken fried steak. They had collard greens. They had macaroni and cheese, Southern fried chicken.
But like, and I don't want to be that guy, but it was kind of grungy.
Sure, it was.
And it was dirty.
Right up my alley.
It was. Loved it. But like the buffet itself looked like it hadn't been washed down in years. And it just,
I know.
And like it was really dirty looking. And I found, I didn't find the food was very good. So
I enjoyed it. We were,
so, it was a cute little place though. It was like the little candy store was cute, oh, yeah. Everything, but the food wasn't very good.
We have eaten a lot of restaurant food for the last 10 days and we're kind of restauranted out because mm-hmm. we went to the local, our favorite little restaurant here in town called,
Country Western.
Country Western. And we've been there, I don't know, 5 or 6 times probably.
Oh, yeah, and the food's great.
Great.
We couldn't eat anything.
We couldn't eat anything. We sat down the other night, and I got, what did I get? Oh, catfish, which I have loved this whole time. Oh, we just couldn't eat anything. We're like, the waitress came over. She was like, apologize. Was the food okay? Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we
just want a sandwich.
We just want a sandwich or a salad. So that's what we've done for the last couple of days. It's mm-hmm. been good. Didn't eat nearly enough at either Self-Reliance, but that's just what we do.
No, but we were... Like we ate what they had there, but it was a little bit.
Well, it was pork heavy for you.
It was pork heavy. I'm not. I don't like pork.
Yeah.
So and I don't like pork products really. And there was like pork everywhere. So and you know, to each their own if that's available. Sure. But I found Chef Brett had a really good beef stew.
Oh, that was so good.
That was really good. Yeah. But again. Eating stew when it's like 28 degrees out, it's kind of, it sits too heavy.
That's 28 Celsius.
Yeah, so yeah. And it sits heavy. I do wish they would offer, I don't know if any of the restaurant people who set up ever here, they should offer pre-wrapped sandwiches.
Yes.
Because sandwiches would go so much further and they would be so much more appealing when it's really hot and it's sweaty. Like you don't want
we'll
a big
pack our own next time.
I think so. Like because mm-hmm. you don't want this big, huge, heavy meal all the time.
The Grumpy Acres Farm. If you guys don't follow them, we've become really good friends. We end up chatting at every event. They're always there with the food. They've been at like 8 different events I've been to, and we just chat. Anyway, they had the best pulled chicken, pulled pork. They did it on a bun, but they also do it on nachos, and that's my favorite because they give you a good plate of nachos. And nachos are just basically something to hold the cheese and the meat. And it's a really filling meal.
Well, and it was good food. But again, today was hot.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And it just sits like a brick in you.
Yeah.
I know. Like when all you just want is like a turkey sandwich with some cheese. Right. Yes. Like you don't need all that really heavy food that makes you feel groggy and weighs you down.
That's true. Yes. Byron says, love all types of nachos. So Aaron wants to know, will you eat rabbit?
No.
Would you try it?
No. I don't like rabbit.
I'll bring something.
I find rabbit really greasy.
I love rabbit myself, so no big deal.
But no offense to anybody. Like honestly, Aaron, I'm not a huge meat eater. No. If I liked more vegetables, I would probably be more vegetarian. But I can handle.
What do you like? You don't like meat. You don't like vegetables.
I don't know. I don't mind a little bit of steak sometimes, mm-hmm. and I don't mind roast, and I do like chicken. But I'm not a huge meat person.
I know.
Okay. I'm really not. And
I eat more meat than you do. So she said she'll have something for you. So okay. That's awesome. So the B-Man J just got to shout you out. I didn't get to hear your presentation, but Jeremy, One Step Closer, who's on the road, him and his dad. Both come up to me afterwards and said how great you did. I talk about this, but this is the power of community. B-Man J. So I'm just going to give you this little you know, 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon thing. So if you go back, let's just go back all the way back when I first started my YouTube channel. And there was a guy that used to come in. His name was Pappy Cannoli. He just dropped in every so often. Cool dude, always encouraging. So here's how community works. Pappy Cannoli loved my live streams. He knew James from the Prepper Broadcast Network. So he said, James, you need to get Tim on Preppers Live Monday night. Great. James reached out, said, Tim, do you want to come on? I said, yes, I do. I came on. He said, we'd like to have you join the Prepper Broadcast Network. I said, okay. And then he said, you need to meet Rick and Jane, who run Prepper Camp. So I brought them on the show, became really good friends with Rick and Jane. So they invited me to Prepper Camp. I went to Prepper Camp. The first Prepper Camp, I met, It's Doomsday Jester from It's Doomsday Podcast. We hit it off. We did some interviews. The next year, we come back to Prepper Camp. Jester says, Tim, you need to meet the most interesting man in the world, B-Man Jay. Jay just blushes and says, shut up, Tim. But he says, you need to meet Jay. Jay and I hit it off. We sat down, had a great interview. And Jay and I consider Jay a friend now. And so I said, Jay, you need to speak at Self-Reliance Festival. So I introduced him to Nicole. Jay was speaking at Self-Reliance Festival. And there you go. I know that's a long ways, but I want you guys to see how one little thing way back then goes do, and you meet all these cool people because of that. It was awesome. I had a hell of a time. So let's start with, we went out Thursday to Self-Reliance, or he said, shut it. Yeah. So I just shook Jay's hand, give him a big hug in the parking lot of the gas station, which sounds kind of funny, but no, it was good to see you, brother. I don't know if you would be home yet or not. Maybe he is anyway. So let's start. We went out Thursday for a little while, right? We popped out. We did.
Yeah. No, Friday.
Thursday, we went out and got the tour from John, didn't we? Or was it Friday?
That was Friday.
That was Friday. Okay, so we went out Friday, and this was the best event I've ever had.
Yep.
Simply because, I mean, you were with me, but you've come to a few events, but we also had Alice and Charlotte. And they, what do you think they thought of the event?
I think they had fun.
Yeah.
They loved hanging out with Brian and Corey.
Yeah, they did.
And they brought a whole bunch of their Canadian candy, and they made a killing at it.
Yeah,
and
they did.
And just so anyone knows, who was there supporting them, they really do appreciate it. And you guys, you like totally made their entire weekend.
They made about $400,
almost $500,
almost $500.
Yeah,
from contraband Canadian candy.
But when we go to Nashville, they want to go to the mall, so they're using it to buy some stuff that they want, and that's totally okay. But you, like anyone who bought anything from them, you really, really did make their weekend.
Oh, it sure did.
Yeah, Alice was so stoked. She was so excited.
We can't do it. I mean, we can do it, but we won't do it. But it would be so much fun to just have them to travel around with just for a month or two. They really are. Oh my goodness.
And it was good for them too, because they're not used to American money.
No.
So I never
interviewed. They're not used to American people.
No.
In the best way possible.
But I stepped back and let them, and they were making their own, change. They were figuring it out, and they did really well.
Alice is the organizer of she is like, all right, Charlotte, we're doing this. We're going here. She just took to it, didn't she?
Yeah, like she took right over, and she was, Charlotte's the salesperson though.
Sure.
But Alice was sitting there. She would not let Charlotte touch the money pouch. She had to do the change, and she was like, and then anytime they left, she made sure she had it with her. And like, she did really, really good.
They did. So we get out. Friday, we went out 3:30-ish, right, in the afternoon?
Yeah, I'd say give or
take. Yeah, I think it was. And we get out there, and things were really quiet, and it was just meant the world to me. But John Willis come over, and he hung out with us for a solid hour.
Oh, I think it was longer than that.
Chatted with us, and he's like, hey, do you want to see some cool things? And he took us inside. I mean, I've been through there, but the girls have never seen it. And you had neither, most of it, right?
No, I hadn't been upstairs. No.
Right. And so he took us through and showed us all of his treasures, all of his cool things, took all the time to explain what they were to the girls and answer their questions and chat all. It was just, it meant the world. I know John knows it. And I don't know if John always knows how much he affects everybody, but they just loved it, thought the world of him.
Oh yeah. And they and Charlotte. Alice didn't have too many interactions with her, but Charlotte thinks the world of Amanda.
Oh,
she was so excited to see her. And then when we went back, and I think it's because she listens to you talk about them.
Yeah.
And then she was so excited to meet Amanda and so excited to meet John. And then when we went back, when she first met her, she noticed that Amanda's got the dyed hair and the fancy nails. Oh, yeah, and then when she couldn't wait to show Amanda her nails on Saturday morning. She was so stoked about it because as soon as we went there, she goes, I wonder if Amanda's here because I got to show her my nails. And she was so happy about it. And I don't think, you know, like I know they realize how much, like, with their age that they look up to them, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's because they listen to how how you talk about them and stuff. And Charlotte, like they just thought the world of them.
Absolutely. So I want to back up a minute to the Kentucky Sustainable Festival, because talk about Charlotte's nails.
Yeah.
So Melissa, who sells spices, we all love Melissa, and her son is married to, they're both very young and married. Her son's married to Haley, who has her own business called Haley by Nails. And her parents
introduced Nails by Haley.
Nails. What did I say? Haley by Nails? Nails by Haley. Yeah, right. And so I made the connection with her. Her parents introduced her to me at Self-Reliant or at Kentucky Sustainable because they were so proud of her because she worked so hard. And so I knew as soon as I met her, her work is astonishing. I knew Charlotte is going to love to get her nails done. So we drove out to Waverly. I guess it was Friday morning.
Yep.
Got her nails done and was able to support somebody in our community. So that was really cool. So Charlotte was really proud of that. So then that brings us back to Friday at Self-Reliance Festival.
Yeah. And then on Saturday morning, she just couldn't wait to show Amanda.
Absolutely.
She's had to show her because because I don't do my nails.
Right.
And she noticed Amanda's blue nails and she just could not wait to show her.
So true.
It was so fun. You'll have to let Amanda know.
I will. Yeah. I will. Michael Sparks, good to see you, brother. He said, wow, Tim and Becky still working it. He's the oil guy from AmsOil from inside. Yeah, Mike's such a good guy. Yeah, it was good. I used to apologize after every event to 1,000 people because I didn't have enough time to speak to them. But I have realized that that's just part of the event. If you get 3 minutes, you get 10 minutes, you know.
This event was a lot smaller, so you spoke to quite a few more people than you did last time.
I never felt, this event, we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on, but this event was... it was a really good size. I never felt rushed or overwhelmed. I never once got stressed out. Like last year at the beginning, I was really
because you were new to the MCing, but you did it before.
Oh, like, I love MCing.
So what are you eating, Brian?
Brian says he's may or may not be sampling some Canadian fares at the moment.
I was kind of a dick to everybody who I sent some.
Okay.
Because, with Carrie,
yep.
I gave him one of everything.
Sure.
And Brian and Corey, I gave them two of everything, one for each of them.
Yeah.
So just enough for them to find out their favorite and get addicted.
Oh, you're like,
but Canadian. They don't have any more.
You're a Canadian drug dealer. So you know what'll happen.
So but I told them to keep track of which ones they really, really like, and I will send them down some more.
We'll send stuff down to Jamie. And then we'll be like, Jamie, you can't eat it all. You need to pass it along a little bit, just a bit. You can eat most of it. But yeah,
but this time the all dressed chips were a huge hit.
I guess
so. Next SRF, I'm going to send down cases.
So Brian says hickory sticks are 100% better than pick sticks. Yes, they were really good. And Rachel Brown says, Tim says, sorry, was on the SRF bingo. They had a sheet today for anybody that had the at home thing.
Okay.
And so whenever somebody said something, they would check it off. So sorry was on there for me.
Yes,
so.
There you go.
And Michael says, yes, it's how it works. I go to events for other things where I'm the guy and I feel bad about not being able to visit with everyone. I totally understand. Thanks, man. And I do, you know, I used to leave these events. The first few I went to, and I've talked about it a bunch, I would leave the event feeling disappointed because there was always something I could have done or always somebody I could have talked to. And I don't anymore. I leave them excited because instead of looking at it as, oh, I missed out on this or this, I got to interview three incredible people. I got to be part. Well, let's talk about all the things we did. So that brings us Friday. We left early Friday. We just went in. We set up the canopy. We set up the chairs.
Yep.
We set up the tables. And then we called it quits. We came home, thank God, because we were tired.
We were tired. Yeah. And we wanted to, are kind of rough.
Yeah, Brian says the maple cookies are kind of rough. Can smell them across the room. Truth be told,
I hate maple
cookies. I don't love them, but they are really good dumped in an ice cold glass of milk. So
well, and actually, they're really good if you dunk them in tea.
Yeah.
That's how your dad eats
them. An old person cookie. You know, my grandmother used to eat them. I'm pretty sure my dad eats them now.
Yeah, so. He dunks them in tea.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. They actually are really good dunked in tea, from what I understand. But I don't like maple.
No. So Saturday morning, the event started. We had a hell of a time. We got out there pretty early, but not quite as early as other years.
Yes, about 8:30.
8:30. Set up the booth. I met with Nicole because I was emceeing again, which was great. We had a few last-minute changes. A couple people had to leave because of emergencies. A couple people couldn't get there quite on time because of getting stuck in the mud. You know who I'm talking to.
Not saying names.
No, Joel Riles. No, it was good to see Joel. Yeah, they did show up for a few minutes, so it was great. Yeah, Off-Grid Ping says first hit's free, so...
That's all. Yeah.
Yep. And B-Man Jay says, Sonny was interesting. Can't wait to hear that one. Yeah, I'm excited too. Sonny was oh my goodness, one of the most interesting interviews I've ever had. And we'll talk about him in a minute too. So yeah, we show up. Saturday was great. The highlight of my entire event was getting to sit in the front row and try not to cry while Mrs. Cook gave her presentation called
You put me on the spot.
I'm sorry. Building an empire out of chaos.
Amongst chaos. Sorry. My brain totally blanked there.
And so Becky was in the greenhouse stage.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit smaller, but the crowd was packed. I counted 24 people there listening to you.
Yeah, because I think the whole time I was more nervous about nobody showing up.
Sure. I understand because it's happened to me before.
Yeah. And I thought my nerves would be like shaking and stuff, but the whole time I was over there, the only thing I said to you, what if nobody shows up? That was my worst fear, because then I think that would have devastated me. And I don't think I probably would have did really good.
Yeah. So you did. So Pippin says, cool stuff, Becky. I'm curious if that'll be on the digital pass. It should be, it was recorded. Yeah. So it just wasn't on the live stream. What did you think of it? Talk about some of the comments you got afterwards, because people like to hear those. Those were
I can't remember their names. The two that were from California.
That's okay. Yeah.
And if they ever watch your live, they were really, really
sweet. He's going to reach out to me on Instagram.
They were a really sweet couple. They really were
awesome.
And actually at the end of the thing, he said that they were moving out of California, which was like awesome to hear, because California was crazy.
Absolutely.
But they came over, and he told me that with all the money that they have spent for this trip and their tickets and everything, that my presentation, if that's all they heard, it was worth it.
That there was no better comment on that than you could.
No, I would never ever expect a comment like that ever. And it made me feel really good.
And they came up to me afterwards, after they were done talking to you, and they said the wife had tears coming down her eyes from your presentation. So, yeah. I mean, you don't have to talk a lot, but you were pretty open about your past, right?
About a lot of things. And awesome. You know, where I came from. I just didn't think it would affect anybody like that. So, and that makes me feel good. Like, I don't ever want to make anybody upset or anything, but it's nice when you can relate to people.
And it's not upset tears. It's empathetic tears, because they've been
relating
there.
Tours. Exactly. Yeah. Like you can relate to people. And like what you said too, is like, you always want everyone to know, because we put ourselves out here, that we're transparent and that's who we are. We're not fake. And basically what you see, this is what you get. Like, there's nothing that we ever, like, we don't put on a show.
That's what I want people to know, is when, hopefully, and I've said that many times, that when we hang out, we hung out with AJ at the banquet. We'll talk about that a little later. But I just told him, I said, I just want folks to know that what you see on the workshop live stream is hopefully what you're going to get in real life. And if it isn't, I want you to slap me across the face, because it's just who we are.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Like, we're like, I guess you could say we're 100% genuine. Like, everything you see, this is what you get.
Oh yeah. Love it or hate it. Take us or leave us.
That's why I'm at the point where I'm just like, you know, this is what you're getting. If you don't like it, there's the door, right?
Josh Bowen says, how many people's lives were changed this weekend? Good job, everyone. There were so many. I don't know. I don't even know. It was incredible. I love when you see people like, oh, I'm from this state. You're also from this state. Let's get together. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a prepper speed dating at the next event. We have talked about this for a while, and it needs to happen. There are so many people out in the prepper sphere, homesteading, all of that, that are looking for a significant other that don't know where to look. And there was a huge question on our final panel. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. So Saturday, your presentation, I was pretty busy all morning doing emceeing events, which was good. And you were busy selling, which kind of kept your mind off it.
Exactly.
But babe, I told you, you knocked it out of the park.
I think I did pretty good. Yeah.
Michael Sparks says none of us are the Kardashians. Got to be real. So yeah. True. And if you're not.
Well, because don't. Just think how tiring that would be.
Oh.
Like to have a fake persona online and then having to keep that persona up when you're talking to people and meeting people, because just one slip up, it could like totally ruin your entire career. Like, and just think how exhausting that would be all the time. Like it's not worth it. It really isn't. Like if you can't be genuine with who you are, then you're in the wrong field.
Somebody was talking about, you know, Ariana Grande, the girls.
One. Oh, gosh.
Somebody said she's changed her voice again. Not that you guys need to know who she is, but they said it's like her fourth voice since she's been in the public.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's
strange. Could you imagine needing to do that all? It would be tiresome. I'm like, you know, I didn't even wear a hat tonight so you could see my bald head. And I'm like, oh, boy, here we are, you know?
Yeah, so. Like just keeping up a fake persona. I think that's more tiring than anything.
Oh, I have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to keep up with the Kardashians, do you?
No. I don't have the energy for it.
Not even a little bit. So later on Saturday, I did two interviews on, I think I did two on Saturday. Yeah. So Nick Ferguson, which was awesome. So here's something. Nick and I have never met in person before. I believe we'd been at the same event and never had a chance to talk, which was great. I gotta back up for a minute. Tactical Redneck, it was great to see you. He says this is from Tactical. It's exhausting just being me, much less trying to be somebody else. Yes,
exactly.
That is true. And I appreciate
it. It's exhausting being yourself. It really is.
So we, where were we heading with that? So Saturday, I did an interview with Nick Ferguson in the afternoon, which was awesome. I got to hear his story. And then Mike Shelby from Forward Observer, we had a great conversation. This is the second one we've had in 6 months. They're both going to come on the live podcast at some point. And yeah, so that was basically our Saturday until we did the banquet.
We did the banquet.
And it was good. I know it was. Yeah, I know you always come away from banquets no matter where you are.
It was fun. I had fun socializing. It ran a little bit late again.
Not as bad as other years.
No, but it's still kind of disappointing because Sam was there from...
Slave to Servant. Yep.
And I really, really wanted to hear him play some songs, but everything ran so late.
I know.
And then it gets to because he is really talented. And I was listening to some of his music there, but by time you get around out of the dinner and by time you're done talking, we have to.
What are you talking about? You
know, yeah, right.
Shut up.
And then we're just like that. We're just tired, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, then we have another early morning again on Sunday, so we can't just stay out.
We try to get out of there by 8 o'clock because then.
I turn into a pumpkin at 9, and if I want to be functional the next day, we have to be in bed at a good time, right?
B-Man Jay says, good food, even if you didn't see me. I was worried about Jay. I was sitting there the whole banquet wondering, Jay didn't get over for his food. I'm talking to him later on, and he's like, dude, right I was there? Right next to you. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, see? He never
And there's my brother-in-law, talking. Barrett Bishop. He says, when is he ever done talking? I don't know. When I'm sleeping? No, not even when I'm sleeping, guys.
And actually, I had an interview with Brian.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of it, and I think he's going to post on there, but I just wanted to shout out to Amy and Barrett. He got himself a new truck.
Oh, Barrett did. Yes, he did.
And I wanted them to know that I'm so proud of them.
Oh, yeah, I guess we are. It's a sweet truck.
Bragging your truck up all weekend, Barrett, and I was showing everybody how nice of a truck it was, and everyone agreed that it was a beautiful truck, just so you know.
Not tooting my own horn, but we got quite a few compliments on the green truck.
Oh, too, absolutely. So. And I was getting compliments on my pink truck, and it wasn't even there.
I know. I know. People love bubblegum pink. So.
Yeah, but I was bragging up Barrett's truck, too, and I was showing everybody, and everybody was complimenting on mine. And it was great.
So yeah. Today, Sunday, this was mm-hmm. the final day of SRF. We had a hell of a time. Today was just an awesome day. And we got there just, we were able to get about a half hour later because yeah. I didn't have a meeting with the MCs in the morning. So now that I'm getting, now that I know what the MC is involved, it takes all the stress off. I can just hop up and do it, you know? Oh, and I got to meet some really cool people yesterday, but that were speakers. A couple I got to introduce that I'd never met before. That was really good. Cardalee, I hope I pronounced that right. I'm sorry. She said, "You touched me so much during your session, Tim. I'm a new listener. Thank you. Nice meeting you guys. Anytime. We appreciate that." That's why we go. A bunch of reasons. But one is, of course, to spread the gospel of the workshop. But mm-hmm. more than that, to meet new people, to make in-person connections, and hopefully touch people a little bit, right?
Well, and you did your presentation today.
Yes. So, yeah, I didn't do a whole lot in the morning. But,
you have to do is we did luck out. It did not rain today.
Yeah, the weather was gorgeous.
They're going to be getting a shit ton of rain. But, no, because last year it rained. Yes. And it was 11 degrees.
It was Celsius, you guys, in freedom and non-freedom units.
Yeah, so, and it was miserable and it was cold. Like, we had a couple bad gusts of wind.
Yep.
But there was
one
no rain.
Person lost their canopy, I think.
Yeah, but I think they were able to
save it. Okay, yeah. Good.
Excellent. But it's nice that it didn't rain today.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, I got to open up the morning today.
You did.
And I did a brand new presentation called Failure is Not an Option, or they shortened it to Failing Forward. But I really prefer Failing is Not an Option. That's kind mm-hmm. of where it's at. And I probably had the nicest compliment of the entire weekend. Carrie Brown come up to me in the parking lot as we were leaving. He said, "Tim, I just want to let you know that every time you do a presentation, your presentation of it has gotten better." And that he said this was the best one he'd ever heard from me. So thank you. It's always fun putting a new one together. It's a lot more work than retooling an existing one, but I'll never do the same one twice at Self-Reliance. So, you know, I'll do the similar one at different events, but I always put together a new one at the different events. So,
and I was going to talk to Carrie before he left.
About trees. Yeah.
About what
We'll talk about that at the end. It's fine.
I'm so excited about it.
So we should slide back a little bit because some people brought us some really nice gifts.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't see them all though.
That's okay. So Chicken Hawk brought, I don't know, what all did Chicken Hawk bring? But he brought us a bucket full of Jerusalem artichokes to plant on our property, which are like potatoes, which that's exciting. I also brought me a 3D printed little, I don't even know what you want to call it, but it's a thing that allows you to put your seed phrase or your key for your crypto onto washers or that sort of thing. That was awesome. He brought me a special bottle of mixing water for bourbon, which was great. We haven't even tried these yet, but Jeremy, one step closer, brought us a bunch of Mexican
Alice candy. Wanted to wait to do
at the hotel.
She wanted to do a
video,
like a video with you
when we get home. Yeah. Okay, so Mexican candy, which was great, and nothing really is going to top the gift that Carrie Brown brought. And you guys have probably saw pictures of it. I don't know if I was laughing or tearing up, but it was a hell of a gift. So he comes out and I see him walking across the parking lot with this big goofy smile that he gets, which I love.
Yeah.
And it's looks like a piece of driftwood. And sure as shit.
It was a beautiful piece of driftwood. It was.
I don't know how hard he had to look to get driftwood in Tennessee. I mean, I know it's a river driftwood, but
it was nice though.
So he flipped it around and it is a sign to hang on the side of our toilet because we needed to come up with a name. We name all the buildings on the property. It's become a thing.
Yep.
And it says Mel's Hole 2024 on it. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know Mel's Hole, look it up. But it's probably the most famous episode or episodes that Art Bell ever had on Coast to Coast.
And Chris and his wife, Mel.
Wow.
Chris, Angry American,
yep,
the author.
Chris Weatherman, yep.
Yeah. I have never seen two people so excited to have their picture taken with a sign that said Mel's Hole.
They were laughing. We recorded TikToks. They took pictures. They came back and they're like, "Can we just take a picture of us with it?" I'm like, "Sure, you can." They were so, we had, oh my God.
Yeah, I've never seen two people so excited about a sign ever. It was so funny.
And that was at the banquet. So thank you, Carrie. I know I appreciate it, but man, that was awesome. So Saturday morning, this morning I did the Failure's Not an Option presentation and felt like it went really, really well.
You did really good, babe.
I was really pleased with it. It came off. it was exactly what I wanted it to say. So, and I know hopefully it touched some people, and I know a few people said it did, which was great. So then I had the honor. Hey, look at that, Chuck. You home yet, Chuck? There's no way you're home yet. But if you are, there's another dude that I never get to spend enough time with, but it was great to see you. I give him a big hug before he left.
He was hopping this weekend.
Chuck has got himself a business. Guys, if you need first aid gear, go to Homestead Medical. Chuck can, I think it's homesteadmedical.us. I hope that's what it is. His stuff is incredible. He just stocked up my full first aid kit. I just got two IFACs from him. A couple of the IFACs come with some tourniquets. Just, oh, anyway, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Well, he helped you get the bag you needed for
Him and I have been trying for 18 months. First, it was.
Oh, it's this bag right here.
Oh, yeah. Yep. This bag. No, it's not that. It's the red one right there with the red handle.
Sorry.
Yeah,
that's okay. The red handle.
There you go.
Yeah, you helped him.
So here's the vehicle. This is going to be the vehicle first aid kit. And I picked up a couple of IFAC kits from him today. That's going to be my everyday carry first aid kit. So I'm excited about that. Oh, anyway, but make sure you support him, guys. I want to go back for a minute to the banquet, babe.
Yes.
We had a hell of a time there. And a couple of years ago, Nicole was like, okay, here's the rule, guys. She said, speakers can't sit together if you can help it. And the reason is because people pay to come to these. Mm-hmm. They pay for the VIP tickets and they're not cheap. And so what we wanted to make sure is that people who wanted to have access and sit and chat were able to do it. Well, we had just the greatest conversation with AJ. So I can't remember his business right at the moment, but I will make sure that I will share that on social over the next few days. But what he just launched is a business, bone broth, powdered bone broth. And it's cool because they're in little individual sachets, just like, the drinks mm-hmm. you can do. So it's something else you can drink to kind of fill yourself up in the morning. And man, he had a vision, didn't he? Did you hear him? Oh, there's nothing more
and
fun.
Am I wrong though? He said he was going to be working on Nicole's homestead for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I was right about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like when's he supposed to be down there?
Cause
then he'll be close to you.
Yeah. So he's there for, I think until the LFTN thing. He's from Montana. He's staying for the spring workshop. So I will see him there when we get there. And oh yeah, AJ was awesome. What a good dude.
So like he must be staying there for a little while then.
I think so.
Yeah, he said he was helping her out with some stuff there.
Oh, now I know who Chris is. Now they see the picture with the chainsaw. I was trying to put the name. Yeah, we had a good conversation today too. So I also today had the honor of introducing Angry American on stage. So that was
what a great guy.
Oh my God. That's what I wanted to bring up because Chris didn't know me from Adam when I first reached out to him and Mel to bring him on the show a couple of years ago. And he still has, it's not the record, but he has the record for the second longest ever workshop episode. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes. John Dowie and I decided to break it one night and we went like 3.5 on purpose and it was awesome. But other than that, Chris has the longest episode. And I kept asking him, like, dude, do you want to keep going? He's like, oh yeah, let's go. And I damn near pissed my pants that episode because it was so long, but he was great. Anyway, so I got to hang out with him at KSL and the dude is exactly what he puts out.
Yeah, well, I said that on the way home. It's like, mm-hmm. what a genuine guy. Like, just really, really, like, him and his wife are really sweet, and they're personable, and they're funny, and, like, no, I enjoyed their company a lot.
He was just, he's top-notch. Like, he, just a genuine dude. Like, and he was one of those guys that I thought, you know, it'll be cool to interview him, but to be honest, I said this in my presentation, or when I introduced him, I said, Chris could easily just be a character, you know?
He looks like one.
Yeah, he could just be, you know, a long-bearded, cigar-smoking pretend prepper who writes books.
And just, I don't know if he listens to your episode, but Chris, you got a sweet truck, too.
Oh, a very sweet truck. Yeah, he was just down to earth, and I think I got him with my intro a little bit because he was just a little teared up. It made me happy, but it was words from the heart because he's a dude I consider a friend now, and I really appreciate him, and so... What an awesome guy.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed their company.
Absolutely. And so I only did one interview today.
Yeah.
Sonny Pazakis.
What a funny guy.
Oh my God. He was like, Tim, we need to do an interview. And not because he wanted to, because he knew I wanted to do one with mm-hmm. him.
I got to learn more about his story.
He's former KGB.
Yeah, I kind of figured. Yeah. I kind of gathered that considering they said that he was going to deliver the knife. And then he's walking around doing this with
him. He is another, what a cool dude. So that episode's going to be on the Patreon eventually. And But he was just, he talked a little bit about his KGB days. He talks about overcoming fear. He shares his story about how he got out of Russia. Just what a, but we're going to have him on the live podcast
and
at
what,
some
what
point
does he
too.
Do now?
So he runs
self-defense.
It's more than that. So he does a 5-day, oh man, it's a 5-day intensive face your fear course where he basically tries to break people.
Okay.
And you go in there and he's like, here it is. And you are going to, you're going to hurt. He says he tries to get people to do planks on their knuckles and gravel. He says, when you're done, you will know the limits of your body. But it's not to be a dick. It's so that you experience failure.
Yep.
He said that was, oh man. Anyway, you got to hear it. He was so good. And Jeff Stark says, don't be shy. When Joe Rogan has to pee, he just says, I got to pee. And you know what? No kidding. We do that now. We're like, you know what? Yep. If we have to go, we go. And Chuck says Sonny's one of the very top instructors in the country and legitimate humble dude.
Yeah.
Like he is your prototypical doesn't have to push the bravado. And you know, he's the scariest dude in the room.
I love his accent.
Oh,
what a great accent.
I forgot to tell him this. And Sonny, I really appreciate the time you spent with me. The dude reminds me of somebody from John Wick. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, no, he does.
But oh my goodness, he is just so passionate. And we were sitting there talking, and the stuff he teaches about training and about gunfighting and facing your fears, the same principles that came out of what he was talking about are the same thing that, you know, John Willis and I and everybody else talk about. They're just packaged in a different way. And it was a great conversation. So I think that brings us to the panel, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Did I miss anything in
no,
the day?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the panel?
No, I enjoyed the panel.
And it was John Willis, myself, Sonny, and Chris Weatherman, Angry American. What, I mean, how blessed am I to get to be part of these panels? You know, I did one year with John, Jack Spierko, and Billy Bond, and I don't even remember who I was with last year. Who did I say? It was John, Jack Spierko, Scully, myself, and it was somebody else. And these panels are just, they're too much fun. I love Thank goodness I take pictures because I can't even remember them, you know? And so we just opened it up. It was a round table discussion and we had a hell of a time.
It was. And there was actually some pretty good questions.
The questions were awesome.
Yeah.
You know, there was one lady who got up and talked about how to find a significant other people. Somebody else asked how to get home in a grid down situation.
I liked when the one guy came up and he said, what do you want? You fed?
Yeah. There was one guy come up twice and we're like, he's a fed. Yeah. I made the offhand comment. I'm like, what do you guys think about sawed off shotguns? That's a Ruby Ridge reference, just in case for those who don't know. And we got to find out Sonny's channel.
Oh, I can't.
Can you? It's Sonny Pizzakis. I had him on my phone here earlier today. And I'm going to.
I know he said it, but I can't remember.
I will make sure that I put all of your. There is sonnypizzakis.com. So Sonny. Pizzakis.com. That's what it is. And he is just a cool dude. So there's, if you can see it, there's one. He does combat. He does. Yeah, it was awesome. So, oh, thank you, B-Man J. B-Man J said he's got some pictures. So you recorded the panel?
I did record the panel.
And, Corey has some pictures she just sent through. There we go. Some more pictures. Oh, good. Some candy pictures. So
yes,
no easy way to share them right at the moment, but I will. Gracie Cook, there's our daughter. I'm very proud of you for helping hold down the fort while we've been gone. Mm-hmm. She says Ollie's listening to us. That's our hairy grandson.
Yeah.
He has a genetic deformity that calves.
The canine form.
He has four legs and a bunch of hair. So the panel was an absolute honor, guys. Like it was a ton of fun. It won't be great audio quality, but it'll be good enough that we'll be able to get up onto the YouTube channel and stuff.
Yeah.
And I have mine, but Becky's isn't going to make it onto the YouTube channel. It was recorded on the back end and we didn't get a recording of it ourselves. So it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. I know I did well.
There was some. We kind of did that on purpose anyway. We were like, anyway, it is what it is.
But it'll be on the purchase.
Oh, on Patreon or on the, no, oh, on the, you'll SRF. Be able to get it through the SRF portal for sure. Yep. So the panel, and then we did the giveaway. And of course, so here we go, guys. Actually, you know what? Let's back up a little. You guys missed something. The people on the live stream, I'm sure, heard it. But we were a little behind in ticket sales. So we do ticket sales for Dark Horse Lodge. You buy a ticket, and then people win donations from all the different vendors, right?
And then it's 100%
to yes, the Dark Horse. Every dollar goes every to ghost. Dark Horse Lodge. Yep. And that's a place that supports veterans when they get out of the military. If they need somewhere to go, they have this lodge, and they go and they can discuss and do, you know, what they need
like
to do.
Yeah, kind of like counseling and therapy. Yeah, and right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just an awesome. They've been, I think Self-Reliance has done it for a few years. So
yeah. It's a really good cause.
Oh, yeah. We were getting behind in tickets. So I decided the first time I got up, I said, anybody, what was it? We had to sell $500 or $300.
No, just had to sell 100 tickets.
Yeah. So I decided, since there's just been running gag for a while, that Becky continues to tell me that I'm not funny. Everyone proceeds to tell her I am funny, and she still doesn't believe it. So
you're going to do it on the live, and yes. You're going to make a video about it.
All right. So here's the thing. So a bunch of folks today supported Dark Horse Lodge. They bought a whole bunch of tickets. And because they did that, I promised live on the air and in a TikTok that I would say that I am not funny whatsoever. There, funny. I did it. And Becky agrees. I'm not making a caveat or anything. I just had to record it, get it down for posterity's sake. And so finally, we wanted to get a few more tickets in, and I said, if we sell $100, is that what it was?
$100.
$100 more worth of tickets, I would tell the most embarrassing, not really embarrassing, but I would tell them.
It was pretty embarrassing.
The Niagara Falls story. So well, I did.
You can't repeat it.
Oh, no, I'm not repeating it here. I'm just teasing them, but it was great. Like, I'll never tell it on here, but it's a story that was worth the extra money for the tickets.
Yeah, so. It was. And we sold a shit ton of tickets.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think in the last two ups, like the very end, $600 in tickets we sold. So yeah, I was really nice. Pleased with that. So really appreciate people who did that. And it was a smaller event this time, about 300 people, mm-hmm. which was fine. But there was a lot of people that canceled last minute. I think there were some people scared about the damn, like.
I heard people saying that they canceled their tickets because they were afraid that the eclipse was going to give them cancer.
Yes, absolutely. So. Yeah. Oh, did they say 600? I wasn't sure how many people there was. And Rachel Brown says, Tim's poop story, laughing my ass off. Yep.
It was pretty good.
That's all you're going to get on here. But it was fun. I was able. Oh, yeah. $600 tickets. Yeah. That was just in those last probably the two sessions we did. So into the giveaway we go. How much did you spend on tickets, honey?
$200.
$200. That's not bad.
But it was mainly because it's for a good cause.
Oh, bullshit.
It really is.
No. No, actually, it's because you love to buy tickets.
I do. But when Tactical went up there and
I know.
Was sick, it was That's actually, true. It was really.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tactical watches it, but he is really a sweet guy. I enjoy his company. He came and sat with me.
Oh, good.
I really love Tactical. I love that. I do. Yeah. He's really a sweet guy, and he's really pleasant to talk to. And we talk about the dogs.
He has the greatest heart. You know, he's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It is poop related. It was quite funny.
So here's how it started. Nicole and I were going to do the draw. Nicole was going to hand out the prizes. Mm-hmm. I was going to roll the little wheelie and I was going to pull the tickets out. So I pull the.
What'd you do with it?
It's in right in there. If you want to, yeah.
Okay.
So hang on, I'm gonna just
gonna set
preface
up the, stage.
The story. I roll it up, shake it up, and I pull a ticket out, and I look at it, and I said, "I'm not reading it." And I give it to Nicole. She goes, "Do you need glasses? You can't read that." And I'm like, "Nope." I said, "You're pulling the tickets, and I'm handing out the prizes because last time, the prize I really wanted." Was that bug out bag, get home bag from Spags.
Yep.
So Becky won half the damn prizes this time.
I didn't win half.
So
I won four.
There was another lady next to you that won more than you.
She won more than me.
Hang on. So the very first prize happened to be what?
Barrett's going to like this,
this
one.
This beautiful kukri knife.
Check that out. And I even looked at them when we were looking at the tickets. And I said to the girls, I was like, I want that friggin' knife. I got to show you what this.
You want me to open it for you?
Yeah, this knife is like the coolest shit ever.
Well, it is basically a, what do you, you know, I'm a long knot. There you go.
Look at that.
A machete. It's like a machete. The first ticket was rigged. I know.
Isn't that a beautiful knife?
I was so excited.
Yeah, so excited. And
so I wouldn't read it. I said, here you go. Nicole, you got to pull the tickets because somebody's going to kill me. I joked last time. When Becky buys 3/4 of the damn tickets, of course they're going to win
something.
I don't
buy 3/4 of the ticket. That lady won more than I did.
Yeah, well, hang on a minute, because there were only 2 knives given away today. So
where's the other one? Is it in here?
Yeah, it is. We won this one here, which was nice, a nice little kukri. And the other one should be in there, I think. So Mrs. Cook also won yet another knife.
Oh, yeah. Check that out.
It's a neck knife.
It's a neck knife. It's not as nice as Patrick's.
No.
But it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, and it is from, what does that say? White River Wind? No, I don't know what that says. I don't know. Anyway, really nice. Yeah, anyway, USXKNT. I need glasses. Yeah, this is awful. But what a beautiful knife.
Isn't that
so awesome? Becky won both knives, and I didn't
know.
Well,
I got to show the best prize.
All right, so that's what happens. I was stoked. Of course, thank God we didn't win the gift certificate to Special Operations Equipment.
That's the one I would have loved to have that one.
Brian says, will they let you into Canada with those weapons? I'm going to dirty them up before we go back but it is going to be used. And this one, Becky was really, this is the other prize.
This was the best one. I won 18 trees.
Fodder tree pack from Nick Look Ferguson. At that. She's excited. That's going to go right on her land.
They're going to go on our land. Yep. I went 6 each of white mulberry, hybrid willow, and lace bark elm.
I was pretty
excited.
Those
are going to go on our. I am so excited about these ones.
We won some really good prizes.
And then I won some sort of.
Was that it? No, you had one.
No, it was like a safety thing. I don't like a box of safety gear.
Oh, okay.
I never opened. I left it down in the.
Oh, it was that little survival kit.
Survival kit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Those are fun. You know.
Yeah.
But. I was proud of you. Yeah,
I won some good.
You worked
prizes.
Really hard buying those tickets.
And last time. I won the jams and the jelly and stuff, and you left them.
I did. I apologized 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, so, no, but I'm so excited about the trees. The trees are the best. I kind of wish they were fruit trees, but you know what though? If I get 18 trees, maybe he'll have some online and I can buy some of the fruit trees.
Yeah, you never know. I was excited for you, baby, because that's something that's going to go into the land, and I'm pleased. And
like 18 trees, that's a lot. That's incredible.
I think the best thing about the event was having Alice and Charlotte there.
Yeah, they had a great time.
I mean, I love having you there too, but you've been to events with me before. This was their very first event. Charlotte was right there with me. It was pretty cool. I got to pick up the prizes, talk about them, and then she was the one delivering them to the people.
Oh, she loved doing that.
I know she did.
Yeah, she did.
It was fun. She busted Brian's balls all weekend.
When they left, she told Brian and Corey that they were her favorite people. And Corey's like, well, did she say that to everyone? I said, have you met her?
Never.
She never
says
it that
to anybody.
Anyone. just so you know. So if she says it to you, she 100%
means it. Yeah, so. B-Man Jay was lucky. He won one of the de-Googled phones from Sean, which was really great. And Chris Dixon, good to see you, buddy. He said, nice work, Becky. Yay, trees. Can't beat that. Absolutely. she plants the trees, and then I get to cut them down. So there you
don't
go.
Don't you be cutting
my trees. I won't touch the trees, I promise.
That is a sweet friggin' knife.
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
Yeah, look at that.
Brian says Charlie was his favorite, too. Yeah,
look at that sweet knife.
That is a hacking knife. I can't wait to test that out.
It's so, and like, yeah, no, that's.
I mean, that is like cut somebody's hand off at the wrist kind of knife.
Yeah,
like
that's.
Yeah,
that could do some damage.
You wouldn't believe it. I know what you're going to say. I'd cut your hand off with it. That's what you're going to say. So that brings us to, I think, the end of Self-Reliance Festival. Mm-hmm. We packed up. We had a good time. And I love that we get to leave now without feeling like
stabby,
we didn't.
Stabby. Yeah. No, this one here, Amy, is more stabby-stabby because you could do some stabby-stabby with that.
So Rachel Brown says, are you going to get the girls on to talk about Self-Reliance in the first video to Tennessee? I think I will.
Yeah, I bet you they will too.
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
They were really tired.
They were.
They hate it. The first thing Alice said to us in the truck when we were leaving, she goes, can we sleep in tomorrow? So
you know what?
They were tired.
So we're traveling tomorrow. We are beat and we don't even want to travel. We got to go to Nashville tomorrow and then we'll have one day to kind of relax. So maybe Tuesday night we'll do a live with the girls.
They'd probably really like that.
Yeah, they would. So Barrett wants to know if this is Tim proof. It friggin' well better. It's full tang. So you can see the metal goes all the way down And if I break that, there's something wrong.
I'm going to be disappointed if you break that. Because that's my knife and I'm letting you borrow it.
I know. And B-Man J says, those knives work great in the bush, which is, yeah.
And everyone has heard it. I am letting you borrow it.
Sure.
It's mine.
Yeah. I told her she could wear this, but she doesn't want to wear it. So she can't wear it at the daycare.
I don't like things around mine.
I know.
Well, I don't like, yeah. Could you imagine wearing that at the daycare?
Can you want to grab, let me show, look, can we show them our SRF haul? You should grab your purple one too, if you want. You know where that is?
I packed it away.
Okay. All right. Well, I can show you at least what I picked up from John this time. So you guys know my over-the-shoulder tactical carrying bag that I love so much.
His Merce.
Yep. So the first one I had was half, hold this up so they can see it, was half this size. So about that big. Then the one I carry now was the full size. However, this one is a four size. It's two sizes back to back. And inside, we've got, I can't even show you it
all. Said, I'm going to use that to peel my potatoes.
Yes, absolutely. We got a double pouch that sits down in the middle. We got two single Velcro pouches and then a long deep pouch right there. And this is the one I wanted to show you. This is around the neck pouch that you can carry that John makes. So it's a zip pouch there. And then on the back, it's got two pockets for knives or whatever it is you want to carry, pens. So
I think Brian and Corey have those.
Oh, do, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Corey had one around her.
Okay. Yeah, so this was my cool little get thing. And then...
Brian, you'll like this new one that he's got. This is the new one that John, they have out.
Yeah, so this
was... It's a tool bag.
Amanda gave us a killer deal. So
with
this is
compartments.
A double fold-out tool bag. So you've got see-through here for the double pouch, see-through right there, and which one, yeah. John?
This is the new one.
Right.
Yeah.
I think if I'm right, is it this one? So Chuck's on there. He just says I make it an IFAC pouch. Is it this one right here that you use, Chuck, the Velcro one, or is it the double wide that becomes the IFAC pouch? Remind me, because I wasn't sure which one I'm supposed to put my IFAC into. So this is the... this is the tool bag. Oh, the bifold tool carrier he uses for an iPad.
Okay.
So, Chuck, since you're out there and I can get you for 1 second, which one did we choose for my IFAC? Was it the small right here? So we got a small individual pouch, which I think that's the one I was going to use inside of my everyday carry bag. I don't think it was this one, but remind me if you can. And then this was the cool thing. This was the 18 months work. Yes, pick out what we need. Chuck sold it to me. I brought it back this time. And this is the bag from John. So here's our medical bag on the small mesh. Thank you, Chuck. So on the outside is a tearaway. What do we got here?
That's a tourniquet.
We got a tearaway tourniquet right there. And then inside, I'm really proud of this. Chuck did a great job organizing it. So that's all of the first aid. This is going to be the truck first aid kit.
Yep.
Nothing in there that really will be hurt by the crazy Canadian winters. I don't think, anyway.
I hope not.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we will. So, and then you picked up a purple.
It's kind of like, it has like the little mesh bags in it. And I'm going to do up a medical kit for my bag.
Yep.
And I think it's probably going to be like a go bag, like with my couple days worth of pills and everything in it. So,
I love that bag.
It'll fit right underneath the back seat of my truck.
Perfect. And we're going to do you up. When I get home, we're going to do you up with a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And B-Man says they're quality bags. I want to tell you, that one, this one right here, baby. You want to grab that?
Yep.
So I made some adjustments to this. I'm not sure.
This is Tim's Merce.
This is my everyday carry bag.
It's a Merce.
It's my everyday carry bag. And if you want to see inside, I made some changes. So I used to have, for anybody that can see, I had a single pouch right here and then a double pouch right here. Now, I don't know if this is going to be too crowded, but I decided to pick up four individual pouches. They're all Velcro. They don't move. And they give me individual spaces to store everything.
In his Merce.
In my Merce. So we'll see. I may end up making a change. It's a little thicker now.
Oh, you already put them in there.
I did. I put them all in there. So
you know what? I don't think it's too bad. I
like
it.
It gives me some room to organize
everything. I think you're going to have a hard time remembering which is which.
Yeah, but I'll get the hang of it. Maybe I'll color code the zippers. But
too bad you couldn't get different colors.
I know. So I could have. But Chuck says he carries that one almost every day.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to show you guys is I've been using this for a full year. This military grade nylon webbing, there's nothing wrong with it. It's as good as the day I went, you know, the clasps, everything about it has just held up really, really well.
Brian said you'll be able
to talk about that.
Organize your makeup.
Yeah, I know. So Brian said that I can organize my makeup. So thank you very much. I appreciate it, Brian.
And his chapsticks.
My chapsticks. I borrow those from you and don't give them back. So, yeah. So what would you say was the highlight of the SRF weekend? Give you a minute to think about it. Barrett says, need one of those go emergency bags on Big Red. Good idea. We will help you with that for sure. Yeah. Chuck says, Brian can help me with my makeup.
Yeah. You know, actually, Barrett, we can, when you're here in the fall, maybe you can get Chuck to help you do them up.
Absolutely. We'll do a first aid kit and an emergency bag. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great. John's stuff is, you could tow a tank with it, man. I'm telling you. Pippin says, I grabbed an SOE tool bag last October SRF, and that thing goes with me everywhere. I dig it. I've just fallen in love with having a bag. I always bust your balls about having a purse, but it's, man, I'm
telling you. They're convenient.
Oh, right? They're great. I can take anything anywhere and keep it organized. And yeah, it says it's bomb rated. Yeah, and it's great. So what would you say, baby doll, was your highlight of this weekend at SRF?
Doing my presentation.
How come?
Well, because it's something, it was out of my comfort zone. And it was nice to be able to do something that I've never done before. And I didn't screw it up. And people showed up. And I don't know, I was just getting that first one behind me. And I hope that maybe in the future that they'll ask me to come do some more.
Oh, I know they would. Yeah. So B-Man J says the networking was the best thing for me. So anybody who watched it online or was there present, put it in the comments. I'd love to know what your favorite thing was, because I have to cheat. I mean, I don't have to cheat, but my answer is going to be the same as yours, except I didn't do your presentation. I got to experience it. And it was one of the most surreal, incredible things I've been a part of. And I meant it. Like Charlotte and Alice said, for about the first 10 minutes, I was sitting there wiping tears away from my eyes. I wasn't bawling, but I was trying to just, I was emotionally touched, because Mama, I mean, you've come so far over the years and the things that you've done.
Well, but 10 years ago,
even
5 years ago, I never, ever would have got up in front of anybody.
Never. Ever.
And just so people know, when I was in high school English class, when we had to do speeches and everything, I was so high strung with anxiety about it that I took my teachers aside and I recorded my speeches on cassette tapes and handed them in, and they would listen to my speech on cassette tape, because I had so much anxiety about going up in front of people to speak. I could never do it. And so and that was in high school, and and even 5 years ago, never would have done it.
I don't know. It's awesome.
I like meeting everybody.
Yeah. Jay said, I don't know if that's directed to me or you, but said we held the tears back pretty good. And it was a good time. I was able to sit there and enjoy it. And the fact that to go from, it's crazy, but I've shared the journey before. But so it all started listening to Jack Spirko probably 13 years ago now. So I started listening to him maybe 12 years ago when I was working nights selling the software from home, remember? Mm-hmm. And that's where I found him, and I just started listening. And then I got onto the Zello channel probably 3 years after we moved out here, so maybe 7 years ago. And for those who don't know what Zello is, it's that it's like a CB app where people just doot and then talk, right? Yeah. And I loved it. I got to meet Jaggy there. That's how I first met Nicole, how I met Patrick Worman.
And kind of like CB.
Andy, it is, absolutely. And Andy Eddings, a whole bunch of other folks. I don't even remember everybody I met in there. I think that's where I first met Tactical too.
Yeah.
Before he was living at Nicole's on her property. So I got to meet everybody. They were my first imaginary internet friends. They were the group. And then eventually, I started my channel. Nicole invited me on her show, and then she invited me to her LFTN and wanted us to come down. And then we couldn't go because COVID shut everything down again. And then we finally went 2 years ago. And I was lucky enough and blessed enough that you came along with me. And she's supported me on this crazy ass dream and ride for all these years. Mm-hmm. And we were walking down that hill, and I've told that a bunch. And you're like, hun, we found our family, our tribe, our friends, remember? Mm-hmm. And then that led to buying land in Tennessee. And that finally led to you getting up on stage talking at Self-Reliance after building the fucking greatest business in the world.
Well, and you have to remember too, being able to do it for me to even be down here, like Amy's at home holding the fort down.
Yep.
And she's, and I know, I hope she's not too stressed, but she's doing awesome. She's holding it down for me. And I'm really, really, and Tessa,
yep.
Tessa's doing awesome too. And all the girls and well, I say girls, but Brandon too. But I know, I've talked to Amy a couple times and she didn't sound too stressed or anything. So I think she's holding it down pretty good, but if I didn't have her there, I wouldn't be able to be down here either. Right. And I'm glad that they support it too. And
absolutely,
it makes me feel good about that because, you know, like maybe eventually we could get Amy and Barrett to come down with us.
I would love so, that. Like, I would my God.
Maybe I could talk awesome. Amy into doing a speech with me about women entrepreneurship and daycares.
Amy, now she's tuning out. She
probably won't.
Yeah, who knows?
But every time I tell her I'm coming down here, she calls me a fucking asshole for leaving her. But I'm really glad that she supports it too, right?
Absolutely.
So, and I don't ever want to put too much stress on her, but I'm really happy that she
100%.
Yeah. But I wrote the speech and I wrote it all by, and it was funny because when Brian was interviewing me afterwards, which was actually pretty cool because I've never been interviewed before.
We never talked about that. Yeah.
No, he called me into the tent and I'm like, me? Because I've never been interviewed before. And I would love to do interviews. I would love people to reach out. And I've never ever had, that was my first interview ever. And thank you, Brian. I really appreciated that because it kind of like, I've never had anybody ask me before. And I told him that it was like one of those things that opened it up too, because he was just like, well, what did you think? What did you take from it? And the one question that he said is like, what do I appreciate about self-reliance? And I told him, it's like, when you get down here and anybody that's coming new to self-reliance or has never been there before, when you come in with an idea on how to do something, whether it's like starting a business or homesteading or anything like that, you're not just getting one idea. You're getting 15 different ideas, and none of those ideas counter-react or cut down the previous idea. So if somebody comes to you and you're like, if you go up to someone and you say, hey, I have an idea about homesteading.
Yep.
Then the first thing that most of these people that at self-reliance, like presenters, like, you know, like you and everything, they'll say is like, well, what did so-and-so say? And then they'd be like, okay, so I'm not going to repeat that, but you know what? That's a great idea, but take that idea and add this idea to it. And then by time you leave, you have 15 different ideas that you can mold into one. And it's like, and that's what I took from it. It's like, because when you go and do this, when you talk to these people, I talked to John. Remember, I was talking to him there on Friday, and I said, the one thing that I'm having trouble with is being, being a little bit more aggressive with
firing people.
With firing people, sure. And I don't like doing it, or being a little bit more aggressive when it comes to disciplining.
Yeah, that might be a better way.
Because I'm always afraid I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, and I'm always worried about it. And John looked right at me, and he goes, "Just fucking do it."
So true. He really said.
He goes, "Just fucking do it," and I'm like, and then it's not that easy, right?
The problem is he will tell you it is, and he's right.
But the problem is, though, he works with a lot of men.
Doesn't matter.
When you do it, women cry.
All I hear is fucking excuses right now.
I know, but that's what
I know.
But
I love you.
But I'm still struggling with
it,
right?
And
it's like, it's one of those things that you, and I think maybe I need to talk to John more.
Yes.
Right? I don't know. Maybe I can get Amy and Barrett down here. Maybe Amy can talk to him too. And I don't know, maybe he can help us both out with that, because I know Amy and I both have a hard time with that.
Absolutely.
But maybe, I don't know, like, He just looked at me and he goes, just fucking do it. And I'm like, I know I have to just do it, but I can't. Right. But I take all those stuff. I take a lot of information from John.
Always.
Because I respect them and I think they're really great people. And I hope I can maybe have a sit down talk with him at some point.
It meant the world to me when John looked at me on stage when we were talking about relationships. And he said to me, he says, I've never seen Tim. I've never once talked to Tim where he didn't mention his wife, Becky, and the great things she was doing. And that meant a lot to me too, you know. So Haas wanted to know when your interview will post. And Brian.
That's up to Brian.
Yeah, Brian says, I need to edit a bunch together. I will make sure Tim puts it out too. And absolutely, that'll go on the channel.
And, yeah, that was my first ever interview. Absolutely. And I really appreciated Brian doing that because it kind of, the more and more I do, the more comfortable I'm going to get.
Absolutely. Great, and you're great at it. And one thing we didn't mention was Brian was in charge of the recording booth this time.
And that was a beautiful recording booth. They had like little chandeliers hanging down.
Oh, I didn't even. Yeah,
they're like little lights.
I was always keeping my head down so I wouldn't hit it. But
no, but they were. It was a beautiful little setup.
It was this blue kind of solarium tent. Mm-hmm. It was nice. It was just quiet enough you could get in there. So I get in there, and that's where I did my three interviews. And then as I was finishing up with Sonny, Brian's like, "Sit down, we're doing another one." So him and I did the first one. And I think Brian said he got 6 or 7 interviews.
Yeah, no, he did quite a few. Yep. Yeah, no, he was on a roll.
And I think each event, this is going to get a little bit bigger. I hope, mm-hmm. I want other content creators to be like, man, I see the potential here. I want to interview because, like, mm-hmm. That has become my drive.
Yeah, I think they said they're going to put, that tent's going to be up every one now, right?
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
And it was really quiet in there.
Yeah, like it was quiet enough that the background noise pissed off.
You couldn't hear anything, like, except for when the wind was picking the tent
or that damn rooster, but that's part of the fun. Wow. Yeah,
that rooster was mouthy all weekend.
Oh yeah.
So,
but it was a great spot to get in, record in, and I loved it. They need to have that every
session because that is actually and it is a good spot for just somebody to randomly, you know, like if there's nothing going on in there, like say somebody wanted to come and have a 15 minute chat with you.
Yep.
You'd be like, hey, let's go in here and sit and have a quiet chat, or maybe they want to have a personal talk, right? It's a good quiet space.
Absolutely.
And nobody was like hovering or interfering or anything.
Nobody was ever at the door listening or watching. It was just,
and you could shut the doors if you had.
You could, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was perfect. It was a nice safe space. We hate that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it was just a really nice. And because like sometimes people want to come talk to you and they don't want anybody else listening. Right. So you can say, hey, let's go in here.
It was great.
Right? And then you'd have the privacy.
I loved it. It was a great way to, and Brian knocked it out of the park with it, you know?
No, he did really well. Yeah. I really enjoyed the interview. Yeah.
I was really happy with it. And so, yeah, that was, I mean, so for me, I guess when I go now, the three things, you know, number one, I want to do a presentation. I always want to do one at these events because I want to get better every time. So that's one. Number two, I want to bring home interviews. Most of these interviews go on the Patreon, but for me, it's a few things. But number one, they're going on the Patreon. Number two, it sets me up to bring them on the live stream eventually. And number three, I make really good friends. And all of them are people I consider friends now, which was also great. And then the final thing that I go to these events for is the connections, all the other people.
Yep.
And I don't know, you lose track, but I probably had 10 different people who come up to me and said, Tim, I listen to the podcast quite regularly. I never comment or message or anything. I just want to let you know I'm there. And it reminded me something that I don't think about very often. And, you know, you look at your download numbers and you see, or you see somebody who, you know, watched it on YouTube and you don't know who watches, you know, and we've got, I forget what it is, 250 people or something, or 270 people, I don't know, in our Telegram group. And it's great. And I see you guys every day and I get to hear from you guys. And you're the guys that I think of because you're the delinquents, but I forget about all the other people that are hidden in just download numbers. Mm-hmm. And every one of them is somebody out there listening, taking their hour every day to listen to what you put out and supporting what we do.
But to all those people that have said that, if you are in the live, comment.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, come and talk.
Or even, like, but even if
you don't need to be scared. We're not going to bite. We're not going to yell at you.
Even if they don't listen in the live, if they listen after the fact, mm-hmm. send me a message, you know, and on any social platform, because I love, it's really inspiring to hear that from people. You're like, oh shit, yeah, they're listening.
But you don't want them to be scared to come in and talk either.
No.
Because like don't ever feel like you're gonna get attacked or singled out or like nobody's gonna like not accept you. You like everybody in this tribe is accepting.
Absolutely.
And don't ever be scared.
B-Man J says he wanted to.
John Willis. John Willis might yell at you.
He might.
But he's not.
There may have been something later in the day where some kids tried to put unbroken down boxes into the dumpster.
That was hilarious.
We won't repeat what was said.
No, but I thought I had it on recording, but I didn't. I was like, I wish I had. That was so funny.
So you guys will get, over the next few days, you'll get my presentation. And you'll get most of the prepper presentation. I think we got that, right?
Most of the panel, yeah.
Yeah, most of the panel as well. So those will be coming out. So this is now April. So I'm due to put up another Patreon post. So yep. There'll be something coming soon there for that. Last month was Paul Wheaton, which was great. I've got so many in the can. I don't even know what to do. I can't release them any faster because it's once a month. It's simple as that. I got to hold on to them because I'm not doing a fall trip. Can I tell them the one thing I am doing though?
Yes.
Okay. So I am 100% committed to not doing a fall trip. However, I am going to fly down and be at Self-Reliance Festival in the fall because I have a hell of a time missing that event. And
God, only for a couple days.
Yeah. And Mrs. Cook was the one who said, Tim, you need to go. So I appreciate you. As much as I know you hate me being away, she looked at me and said, honey, you need to go to Self-Reliance. So I told Nicole. Nicole's like, all right, you're on the speaker schedule. So I will be at the fall. It's going to be the only fall event that I'm at. And I'm not driving. It's not a road trip. I'm flying in, renting a car, and that's it. So.
Yeah. And then, and then hopefully next spring, we can want to come down here and work on the land for a little bit, but yeah. I think we'll probably do SRF in the spring.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's in our area.
So what we're looking
at. But we're not going to any events in the spring.
What we're looking at, things can change, but we're just going to talk about it for a second. So we've got coming forward to LFTN, Mountain Readiness, and then Nate and Aaron's, and then I'm home. Then I'm flying down for Self-Reliance. That's it. Just those times.
Yeah.
And then we're home. That's it. And then in the spring, if all goes well, we're going to come down for at least a couple of weeks, work on the property only. We're going to schedule a work day, another Delinquent Scully work.
No, a couple work days.
A couple work days. So folks can come. We're going to tie them into the day or two before Self-Reliance Festival.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun. It'll be a great time. And then it'll just be Self-Reliance Festival. And I'm guessing I'll probably do a road trip in the fall.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see where that ends up. So yeah, so that's what we're going to do. And yeah, should be a good time, hey?
Yeah.
Well, I think that covers it. That was good episode, Mrs. Cook. I need to get off my chest before I forget
just
it.
Just been eating you up.
Oh, eating me right alive. Yeah, I've been sitting here thinking, I got to share all this because if I don't, I'm going to forget.
Just vibrating.
So, oh yeah. Like, honey, let's do a live stream. Let's do a live stream. Want to hang out with me? Want to hang out and talk to all our imaginary internet friends?
Well, we put all our suitcases in the truck and everything, so they have.
Yeah, we packed everything up. We're like.
Yeah, we ain't got it. We don't have a lot to do in the morning. Just get up, get ready, have some breakfast, and hit the road. I think
Barrett wants to come with us. He said spring road trip next year.
I would love Amy and Barrett to come down. You guys need to come down and work with us on the land for a couple weeks.
That would be awesome.
So much fun.
Yeah, it would.
Just the four of us.
Oh yeah.
Like, well, we can either drive down or we can fly down and rent a vehicle.
Oh, I'm driving.
We'll drive. Okay. Here, so. Yeah. So we'll drive down.
But they can fly down and we can meet them.
Or we can take two vehicles down.
Yep.
We could bring my pink truck.
We could have a convoy.
I think it would be fun. And I would love for them to come down.
Absolutely. It'd be a hell of a time. We could. Yeah. Oh, trust me. I'll have some work done before.
Yeah. But in the meantime, between then and then, I hope to be. Yeah. Barrett's got a brand new truck. Yep. He can take it. You can bring your truck down.
Absolutely.
So, but we can, I plan on starting to buy materials so that we can have a good surplus on the land so that when we do come down in the spring, we have a shit ton of stuff to work with. And that way, when we have those couple work days, there's more than enough to do.
Absolutely. We'll plan what needs to get done for the spring work day and it'll be a good time.
Yeah.
So perfect. All right. Want to call her quits for tonight?
Absolutely.
I'm beat. I'm ready for bed. So
you're not going to bed.
I won't.
We're just going to go watch. You know what? We'll probably watch. Well, I say TV, but we're going to go watch our phones.
No, we'll go late. This is how it goes for the evening. So for the next half hour to 45 minutes, we'll lay in bed watching TikTok. She'll watch TikTok and I'll watch YouTube shorts and we'll send them to each other while we're laying in bed as we relax for the evening. So
we've worked
our asses off and we're going to go have a good. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, a good sleep, I guess. So, all right, guys, with that, As always, stay happy, stay healthy, and have a great week.